Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am joined by James Murphy. James, how are you?
Doing good, Brendan. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, no problem. So, we went out and did a little field trip, I suppose. But before we get to that, James and I, we both write for the Daily Journal. You can follow the journal on Twitter at DJournal Sports and see all of our coverage at DJournal.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BFarrell727 and James at JS Murphy Media. So, yeah, we did go on a little bit of a field trip. You and I, we went to the Florida-Mississippi State game this past week. Both because, well, first off, Florida's my alma mater, and second, because we could.
Very true. We didn't heed the words of Jurassic Park, if you're wondering at home.
I was going to say, that's what I was had the, just because you could doesn't mean that you should type of mind.
We did, and it was hot.
Yes, it was very, very hot out. In a shocking turn of events, it is still very hot in Mississippi in mid-September.
Shocking indeed.
But yeah, this was both not our first trips to Davis Wade Stadium, but it was our first trips as fans. What did you think?
The experience, I think it was pretty good. I didn't really have a problem with much. I thought you know how some stadiums will have like the bench and then on top of the bench they'll have certain chairs paired next to each other. We were able to get the chairs, and you know, sometimes I would wonder why people bring their own chairs that they can just kind of plop down and sit in. And I realized why, because I was not only upright in a position where it's not bad for people to slouch over, but it was very comfortable and it was nice to be in. Food was pretty good. There was a Chick-fil-A that Brendan went to at halftime that I assume was very good. I went straight to the one with the much, much shorter line at halftime, but that one had some good chicken tenders and fries. Went chalk there, and overall, pretty good game experience.
I mean, look, it was Chick-fil-A, but also I have to shout out that Chick-fil-A for having reasonable game day prices. Because I feel like any other stadium, a chicken sandwich is like $15.
Yeah, probably very. I mean, it probably has to be consistent with their other branches, right?
I'm sure. But I was going to say, I think my only line of comparison is maybe like the Chick-fil-A in the Falcon Stadium, which again doesn't make any sense because they're closed on Sundays.
Okay, for what it's worth, I'm sure Atlanta United makes bank off that.
Oh, I mean, I know that Mercedes-Benz Stadium hosts other events, but it is very funny, right? Because most people, when you look at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they go, oh, that's the Falcon Stadium. Not, oh, that is a place where I saw a concert or something.
Very true.
But I digress. But yeah, I thought we had a good time. I had a good time, at the very least. Even if I was having some tall person issues of, you know, trying to comfortably keep my feet in place between rows of seats, if that makes any sense.
Well, that's not, there wasn't just that. There was also the issue of trying to make sure that the top, that our knees were not getting burned, because I think for the most part, like, I went in a sun hat and a long sleeve shirt. I like to think that I was fairly covered, but like above, like the knees, it's very tough to do that unless you wear like long pants. And I already have the long sleeve shirt. I'm not wearing the long pant. For you, that had to have been very tough.
Oh yeah, no, it was awful. I mean, I did have the thought of, I should probably get the tops of my legs just in case. But I was like, you know what? It's a college football game. I'm going to be standing the whole time. That stuff's going to get covered by the sun. Narrator, he was not standing for most of the game.
yeah, that was, but yeah, it's like, even it's one of those things is like, okay, well, if you put sunblock on it, how much good is it going to do if you're sitting for multiple hours and that sunblock eventually fades a little bit? You did what you could.
Yeah. And with my extremely pale and sensitive half Irish skin, it was kind of a rough day.
With my full Irish skin, attest to having trouble in those conditions.
Personally, one of the funniest parts of the day was driving home, stopping in West Point for some cold beverages, and seeing a cop going, well, was there a game in Starkville today?
I was talking about it on the car ride back, where there's a possibility that that cop fan is a state fan in denial, which would have been even more hilarious.
I mean, I was thinking more so like maybe after that game, he got what maybe every state fan wanted and like got like his mind zapped by like
the men in black. Yeah.
Losing by 17 at home to a bad Florida squad. Didn't happen.
You scored a touchdown on 4th-and-1.
But yeah, I mean, we had kind of a limited game day experience because you and I were both covering football the night before, and it was an 11 a.m. kick, and it is an hour and a half from here to Starkville. As it stands, I got 6 hours of sleep. So you and I were not getting down to Starkville any sooner.
We were not, and we got there right as the game happened, and we did have a shuttle bus thing where we waited for that a little bit. And we were waiting for a shuttle bus to take – well, first of all, parking took, what, 15 minutes?
It wasn't that bad.
It took longer than it should.
Longer than expected.
Took longer than expected. The shuttle took longer than expected. I say, okay, you know, let's take matters into our own hands and go. And just as we're going, what comes right by us? A shuttle bus that we get on and take to the stadium.
I mean, part of me was like, we probably just skipped a bunch of people trying to cram ourselves on that bus. But I was like, you know what? I had waited at that bus stop that was like further down for like 40 minutes and nobody picked me up. So I don't. You know, like that was the way I made sense of that. It looked like there was another bus that came by and picked up people from our stops.
So there was nothing saying we couldn't do it.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, what'd you think of the game?
I thought the game, well, from Florida's end, certainly a spot that I think they needed. It is almost universally known how hot Billy Napier's seat is, and this helped. I don't know how much it helped, but it did. On the Mississippi State side, I think you've got to be feeling pretty upset about this. Obviously, you're going to have growing pains with a first-year head coach, and I can kind of understand getting out-coached to a Toledo team that has been pretty consistent over the past decade, but to get out-coached by a guy who, again, has the hottest seat in college football is, to me, that's a little jarring. And I go back to earlier where end of the third, going into the fourth quarter, they're inside the 5 and they're trying to punch it in. Not one of the plays that they called had the quarterback under center and allowed them to just run it. They got way, way too cute at a spot where if they score a touchdown, they probably change the tone of the game. And again, this might just be Lebby growing pains, but if you're in that situation where cutting the score in half makes it a new ball game, you just go and get the points. You don't worry about looking pretty doing it. You go get the points. And I feel like that cost them.
You could feel dads across Northeast Mississippi going, got too cute there.
Yeah, I could. I perhaps I speak for them. Who knows?
But yeah, no, you could not tell that Florida fans despise Billy Napier as a play caller.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a lot of times. A lot of times you look at what Florida called and you're like, what are you doing? They're doing what? To where? How? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, and to your point, the biggest play of the day from an EPA standpoint was indeed that 4th-and-goal -6.11 EPA on that, which is very, 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 very bad. Cannot stress how bad that is. But yeah, and then I don't know. It was just a not great day for Mississippi State.
It was not, and it shows that they have a lot of work to do in order to get close to where they want to be. I didn't see an identity on defense. Florida could have very easily turtled up and run the ball the entire game. Like with the way that Mississippi State was playing and with whatever leverage and where they were and how they were playing, Florida could have just thrown the ball maybe between 5 and 10 times all day, and they probably could have gotten out of there with an even more resounding win. There's just not a ton of identity with Mississippi State, especially not on the defensive end. And nobody's, I don't think anybody in Starkville or in or around Starkville was asking that they be one of the best, but that just that they be respectable. And they haven't been that for much of the season.
Yeah. To me, that was the big deal, was defensively State was an absolute mess, right? Like, you got a Florida team that is basically a crisis in every way imaginable. You know, they looked pretty horrendous, especially on the offensive side. Well, really on both sides of the ball. But, you know, on offense, they looked pretty bad against both Miami and Texas A&M. And they're throwing in their true freshman five-star quarterback every third drive because, okay, sure, why not, right? And Florida came into Starkville and put up some pretty spectacular results against Mississippi State's defense. Again, they scored 45 points. And then from, you know, sort of an analytical standpoint, 92nd percentile EPA per play, 99th percentile success rate, 91st percentile yards per play, 92nd percentile EPA per drop back. It did not matter who was the quarterback for Florida.
No, it did not. And, I just don't know how. And again, I get that it's first-year coach and growing pains, but even then, it can't look this bad. It just I don't know how else to go off it. It just can't look this bad.
Yeah, I mean, especially because you kind of looked at this, you know, as the season has started, as well, maybe they can get this one, right? No, they cannot. I mean, that defense is. I am kind of both terrified and excited to see what happens with that defense against SEC opponents, because there could be some records set.
Well, if anybody, any of the listeners at home are looking for any sort of foreshadowing in an SEC game, again, this is not SEC versus insert FCS school here that's probably a short drive away. This is SEC. When Texas comes to Mississippi State, and I know Texas is the number one team in the country, Texas is laying 39 points. Just, again, for the folks at home, make sure you listen. You did listen correctly. They are favored by 39 points.
Sorry, they're on the road.
Oh, they're on the road, yeah. 39 points, right.
But, yeah, no, that doesn't change the fact that they are a very heavy dog. And not in a good way.
No.
And this is not just like a weird Vegas thing. Bill Connelly's SP Plus has Texas as a 99% like win probability for Texas. He has them as a 35.6 favorite over Mississippi State. That's very bad.
It is. And obviously it doesn't get easier. You're at Texas. You're at Georgia. One and two in the country in that order, unless barring something happens with Georgia next week. But you look at the rest of this schedule, outside of maybe UMass on November 2nd, and look, this is just being honest. I feel like if you're Mississippi State with this schedule and with Blake Shapen going out for the season with a shoulder injury, I think you're just trying to get through the year and show a little bit of progress here and there.
Yeah. I mean, it truly was a pretty horrible, no good, very bad afternoon in Starkville.
Yeah, it's just and again, I do think Blake Shapen obviously was not perfect, but he did bring a leadership to especially the quarterback room that I think they were at least able to build off of and use as kind of like a base point to try and get things going. And now with even that gone, I'm not sure how you handle the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, it is interesting that they're trying to see if they can get Blake Shapen a medical red shirt.
Has he used one already?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that might be possible.
But Yeah, it's not great. And then I was also going to throw in that Chapin has also given them at least a reasonable floor at the quarterback position. And now you sort of got the wild card of a true freshman at quarterback and whatever they're going to do with Chris Parson.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they tried working him in the rotation last year when Will Rogers wasn't healthy, but again, I'm really not sure what you're able to do in that situation.
And again, going on the road to Texas, not an ideal situation for either of those guys.
No, and again, you might just have to get through it.
But yeah, I don't know. We had a good time, I would say. But yeah, I just sort of feel like that was about as bad as it could get. Especially, it was just kind of weird sort of watching the stadium empty out. It was only like a 14-point game at halftime, but I think it was just so hot, and State has just been so bad this year that it was pretty easy for people to check out.
One of the things that stood out, obviously, at first half, it was all packed. Second half, as you said, it was only a two-possession game, and we went down to the concession stand, so out of the sun, to get some food. We come back out, and the student section and most of the fans were gone, and I was talking to Brendan, like, oh, and we were like, okay, I guess a lot of them are still in the shade, or they didn't know the game, or they must not know, the stands remained empty through half the third quarter, and then going into the fourth quarter, and then it was just like, oh, these fans aren't coming back.
Yeah, I mean, also, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to add about this situation?
I think we've covered pretty much all the big bases.
Yeah, so in talking to a couple State fans, I know that it's basically at the point where they're like, please just don't lose to UMass.
Well, they got a couple months of preparation for that one.
So we'll see how that goes. But I did want to throw in there that things are so bad in Starkville right now that in SP Plus, they are actually below Vanderbilt.
Really?
Right. Like, usually when your team in the SEC is bad, you can at least say, at least we're not Vanderbilt.
Right.
Unfortunately, you can't say that for State, arguably.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, State is 77th in SP Plus right now, which is fairly hard for a Power 5 or a Power 4 school to do.
To be fair, Power 5 to Power 4 is going to take some getting used to, and yes, that is very incriminating.
See, the 5 is just Notre Dame being an independent, so.
Ha, very true.
But, yeah, so, rough. It's only going to get rougher. Once again, not a dog pun, but, if you know.
Yeah, it's pretty much the best words available.
So, I will be very honest. I did not watch the Ole Miss Georgia Southern game. You cannot make me.
Well, I watched a little bit of the first quarter. Again, aptly put, took care of business. Unfortunately, they did allow a touchdown for the first time all season on a running back pass that fooled. It looked like it fooled pretty much everyone in the building, not wearing a Georgia Southern helmet or shirt. So, pretty crafty play call by Clay Helton. But again, they largely took care of business. Jackson Dart and Trey Harris continued to be dominant. And this was probably their last tune-up before what I think is a very interesting stretch of games. And again, they passed it with flying colors.
Yeah. Again, you can't make me watch this game. Can't make me analyze it. Ole Miss scored a lot of points. They allowed very few. We move on.
Yeah, very true. It's taking care of business every day.
But the nice part is that part of the schedule is finally over for Ole Miss.
It is, and they get what at least I think is by far their biggest test of the year coming to town on Saturday.
That's not saying anything.
It isn't, but look, there's clearly something a little bit there with Kentucky where you got to be a little bit on your toes.
Yeah, I mean, you can say, hey, this team that they're playing at least has one decent side of the ball as opposed to Ole Miss's first four opponents.
Right. And look, I don't know how much people will take out of Kentucky taking Georgia to the brink at home. Maybe it was Georgia's annual, we don't have it today, but we're still going to win game, and Kentucky wasn't as good as that showed. But again, it gives you something to focus on. And then the week, and then the 2 weeks after, at the very least, will be exciting to have a South Carolina team, obviously capable of at least making noise. And you got to go to LSU and then before you host Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't know if the Kentucky-Georgia thing was them overlooking Kentucky to play Bama, which doesn't make a ton of sense because there's a bye week in the middle. Or if it's just, I think my problem with Kentucky is that they're like the Groundhog Day of the SEC. I swear they are the exact same team every year. The faces change, but like they do the exact same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I can assure you that Stoops will once again back his way into a win over Florida, look good against a couple opponents, and then lose some games that they shouldn't.
Brendan, this feels personal.
It is extremely personal. But, I mean, that's just like, I feel like Kentucky has followed the same recipe, playbook, whatever you want to call it, for the last like 5 years. They'll push some teams, they'll lose to some teams that they shouldn't, and they will drag you into the mud. It also kind of reminds me of like playing any of the Will Muschamp teams where you're like, okay, this team isn't that good, but when we win, it will be like the ugliest thing you've ever seen.
So they're going to kind of, they're going to at least win or lose, the game's going to be played on their terms.
Kind of. I mean, we're still talking about a game where pretty much no matter where you look at it, Ole Miss is like a 20-point favorite. You know? But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see Ole Miss's offense against an actual functioning defense, I suppose.
Yeah, very true. And again, Dart, the connection of Dart and Harris, and you could also argue Dart and Wells, and Dart and Watkins, and Dart and Ben, and Dart and Parrish on occasion. It's possible those connections keep on humming, but as you said, biggest test.
I mean, the numbers on the offensive side of the ball for Kentucky are hideous, just hideous. Like, you know, sometimes you see these like high profile quarterbacks, or like when I say high profile, I just mean like they're recruiting, right? Brock Vandegrift, former five-star quarterback. And then, you know, they leave just to go get playing time. But I feel like this is one of those situations so far where you're like, oh, this is why this guy didn't play at Georgia.
Yeah, he had a couple of those minutes against Georgia. And I don't know, on the surface, it seems like they have, I think, two receivers. As in, they're the only two people with over 10 catches. So maybe that does something. Who knows? Probably the biggest thing, assuming what you're talking about with Kentucky playing the same way every year is true, I think the biggest thing is coming out of the gate. It's going to be for Ole Miss is to make sure the game is played more on their terms instead of Kentucky's, to make sure it's not played in an ugly game in any way, and that they can just play close to the style of football they've been playing so far.
Yeah, I suppose. I think one of the more interesting matchups is Kentucky's offensive line is bad. They are 110th in sacks allowed. They have allowed 10 sacks already this year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's a big opportunity for Ole Miss's defensive line to sort of flex their muscles.
Oh, yeah, because you had Prince U from Florida, you had Walter Nolan coming in, and they were headliners for what Rebels fans were hoping would be a revamped defensive line, and here's your chance to really showcase that.
Yeah, that was just sort of one of the interesting things I wanted to bring up, because, again, I feel like that's sort of just the buzz with this Ole Miss team is, you know, this is how we're different, right? Is we're going to come out and be able to get to the quarterback. And they've certainly done that. They are tied for seventh this year with 13 sacks. Granted, as with every Ole Miss stat, you have to throw in the, well, their schedule.
Yeah, very true.
But there was an interesting stat I saw from Bill Connolly where basically he tweeted out what is he calls like resume SP plus, which is how do teams perform against what would be expected of like a top five team. And Ole Miss is fifth, meaning that despite playing on easy mode, they are doing exactly what is expected of them as a top team.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see because this is, like, finally, like, an interesting test for, at the very least, Ole Miss's offense. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how sort of all this comes together for Ole Miss.
Yeah, again, they got to be able to play the game on their terms.
It's a huge opportunity for, I mean, really just for everybody. But yeah, it'll be nice to see if sort of that Jackson Dart, Trey Harris connection, like, not if it's for real, because we know it's real, but I want to see, like, to what extent is that, like, quote unquote, real, I guess, against, like, actual SEC competition.
Right, yeah, how it holds up.
But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss has just been a tremendously, like, balanced, like, well-rounded team so far this year.
Oh, yeah. Again, you could really, as I said a couple weeks ago, you really can't ask for that much more, except for, dang, if only we could have snuffed out that running back pass from Georgia Southern.
Yeah, no, just ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know. Is there anything from the last week that you wanted to add?
In terms of just, you know, all the other things, in terms of the Mississippi schools, not that much. I think we covered all of them. I do feel I like how it's a little early, but I can definitely see how the 12-team playoff is almost paying dividends already, because it feels like more games mean more. And that'll probably be the case going into October, going into November. But we're seeing it already, and I really like that. I think that is good. That part of the playoff is good for the sport.
I think it's interesting that you bring that up, though, because some people are like, well, I liked it better when my team season was over in September.
Yeah. I, for one, hi, folks, Michigan fan here. I, for one, am thrilled that the season did not end at the hands of Quinn Ewers, Steve Sarkisian, and the Stormtrooper uniforms known as the Road to Texas Longhorns. I am very glad that we had something salvaged against USC.
I think Quinn Ewers had just slightly better aim than Stormtroopers, though.
Against, in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to have that good of aim. Wink Martindale's just left people wide open. He didn't have to do much, Brendan.
Have you seen Stormtroopers aim?
We're only talking from a uniform standpoint. We're only talking from a color palette standpoint.
But, yeah, no, it's an interesting balance at the very least. I don't know. I don't have a dog in the fight on this problem debate, I guess, because you know my alma mater has never been relevant enough for it to matter. So yeah, we'll see. But certainly this is not a game that Ole Miss would want to drop. So
no, and again, they got to play it on their terms. If it gets ugly, could be in trouble.
I just think it'll be interesting to see, you know, Ole Miss, fun offense, you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go against the prehistoric Kentucky offense that currently their EPA per pass is 120th in the country.
Out of 134?
Yeah. Just like impossibly bad. So we will, again, we will see, but yeah, just some gross stuff. But yeah, so again, I don't know, anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's all the big stuff.
Cool. Well, you can follow James on Twitter at JSMurphyMedia. You can follow me on Twitter at BFerrell727. Again, you can see all of our coverage at DJournal.com and follow, well, the journal on social at DJournalSports. James, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Brendan. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care, everyone, and have a good one.